A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The word of the Lord.
All right, I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I mean, it's all right there in the text you read, right? I mean, this is kind of the heart of the whole Christian thing. You know it as well as I do, right? I mean, what? I mean, seriously? What? You need me to do 10 minutes of jokes and then turn poignant for the last 30 seconds to tell you what you already know? I don't think so. I mean, do you need me to, like, do 10 minutes of weird story that leads you to turn to the person sitting next to you and ask, a little more irritated than amused, is he doing a character? And then in the last 30 seconds, I could drop my voice half an octave and slow my delivery to a train pulling into the station pace, where upon the arrival at the platform, I pointedly turn and look at the communion meal and make some not-so-cloaked reference indicating that it's all there really is, the radical mercy of God, which fills us to overflowing so that we might have love and radical mercy for others. Yeah, I don't think you need me to do that either. I mean, it's love your enemies, right? Turn the other cheek. You got it, right? You know this, right? I mean, even if you don't really even believe in God that much anymore, you still like this part, right? You still, like, love your enemies and turn the other cheek. I mean, even if you and Jesus are no longer exclusive, this is still some of the good stuff, right? Yeah, you still like this stuff. Look, I'm not trying to be, I don't mean to be glib. I don't mean to be glib. I mean, not anymore anyway. I used to be glib back in the 70s. I mean, but in a different way. It was in a different way. Because GLIB was actually one of the first gay rights organizations, you know, way back early on. And my parents were very active in it. We had a family membership, actually. I've told you before, I was raised by hippies. Yeah, 1972, the Equal Rights Amendment. I was five, but I marched. We held the line. Yeah, you know, so there was women's lib and there was gay lib. GLIB. GLIB was actually started before GLAD, but nobody took it very seriously. So, yeah, I know. I know. I see you checking the time, wondering how many more minutes of jokes before he turns poignant, you know? How many more jokes before he turns and does his 30 seconds of poignancy, and so you then you can get your body and blood and get the hell out of here. I know, I can see it. I can see it. Hey, you're lucky I'm doing the jokes today, you know? If I do the weird story guy, that can really go on and on. Sometimes I lose it. I get lost up there, you know? I can't find the station to pull into, you know? But what's even worse, this meta guy I'm doing now? I don't know. Yeah. Just be lucky you got the jokes, all right? I'll move it along. Anyway, this text, you know it, right? The heart of Jesus' teaching. You know, there's some beatitudes, the blessings and the woes, and the love your enemies, the turn the other cheek, the do unto others. Right, you know. Of course you know it. It's classic. But don't call it the Sermon on the Mount here, right? Because that's in the Gospel of Matthew, where Matthew's author wants to equate Jesus with Moses, you know, go up onto the mountaintop and receive the Ten Commandments. No, but this is Luke. Luke is doing something different. I don't know exactly what, or I do, but I don't really want to go into it, to be honest with you. Luke writes, Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Sermon on the Plain. We don't have the part in the text where he says that in this week's reading about Sermon on the Plain, and so I'm not going to go into it, or the blessings and the woes, which you can know anyway, it doesn't matter. We have what this part here, love your enemies, the love your enemies part. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek also. If anyone takes away from you your coat, give him your shirt too. Give to everyone who begs from you. And do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? I told you, classics, you know them. You probably have them memorized, even though you never tried to. Right? Yeah. But, in spite of me telling you that I was not being glib, even though I sound kind of glib, I want to assure you that that is just a glib presentation. The content, actually, and you'll see now, isn't glib at all, because this time when I'm reading through it, you know, and it's just like, you know it, it's a classic. But this time when I was reading through it, this is also a classic turn I always make. This time when I was reading through it, I saw something different. This time when I was reading through it, I mean, okay, love your enemy, turn the other cheek, that's good. All liberals do that, you know. I mean, it's like you do downward dog and you practically, or it comes right out of you. It's the whole thing, you know. But no, like, look at, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Sinners do the same thing. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same thing. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return, because, check it out, do not judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive them, and you will be forgiven. And wait, here's the part right here that really got me. Give, and it will be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Not that part. I don't know what that means. But, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. I don't want that. I don't want that, the measure I give. You know, it's like, I feel like for the first time it was like, wait a minute, this is the wrong part of the Bible for me. This is the wrong part of the Bible for me. Have you ever been like, you know, way back in school, you realize that you've got the teacher's edition of the book, you know, and it has the answers in it, and it tells you what the teacher is supposed to be teaching you? That's what I feel like this is here. This is not the part for me. I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. I'm the one it's talking about that you should turn the other cheek when I hit you. I'm the guy hitting. I don't want back the measure that I give. I don't want that at all. This is the wrong part of the Bible for me. This is the teacher's edition. I'm the sinner. I am the one that isn't paying you back. I'm the one that isn't paying you back. I mean, literally, I was just raised this way. I don't know why. I was walking along. It was after football practice. I went three times. Somebody said, join football. Jimmy Tapp said, join football. I did. I don't know. Nobody taught me how to play football. I don't know. Maybe I don't know where people learn. But we're going afterwards, and then there's a Steve Golodowicz comes up to me, big guy. He played one of the big positions. I don't know which one. And he came up to me, and he said, oh, you know, you leave practice early. It's like you don't even care. I was like, well, I don't. And he hauled off and hit me in the face, slapped me super hard right here. And without thinking, I punched him in the face. Then I turned and ran. But I'm the punch you and turn and run guy. I'm not the turn the other cheek guy. So what good does this do for me? I mean, I don't want what's coming back to me. I don't want what I'm putting out there. I want something better. I want you all to read this part, you know, and hopefully you're not the hit back and run guys either. Look, most of my theology, let's be honest, is informed by Kurt Vonnegut. All right? This is where that kind of existentialism, where I approach the abyss and I look into it and then, like, then what? I'd rather love my neighbor. I'm going into the abyss eventually, right? I might as well love my neighbor. What do you do when you look into the abyss? That's where I get my theology from. But I figured, you know what? You don't want to hear that. I'm going to make the turn soon. Poignancy's coming. So, all right. And by the way, it's just a poignant look. It's not actual poignancy, just so you know. I figured Kurt Vonnegut got most of his theology from Kierkegaard. So I read Kierkegaard that maybe I can get me up from the edge of this. Maybe I can, it can help me out with this. Because I'll be honest, you know, I hope you don't think that I like being the guy that doesn't pay you back. I don't like being the guy who doesn't turn the other cheek, who punches and run. I don't like being that guy. I just somehow became that guy. The way, I don't know, that's who I am. So I thought maybe Kierkegaard could help me because I want. Kierkegaard says this. The only way we can love our enemy, the only way we can turn the other cheek, the only way we can lend and not expect anything in return, the only way we can pray for those who hate us and abuse us is, this is what Kierkegaard says, if we first presume love. This is the word he said, presume love. Vonnegut's funnier, I'm just saying. Presume love in another person. That person that I'm going to forgive, that person who I'm going to give my coat to, give my shirt to when they take my coat, I have to presume that inside of them, deep inside of them, there's love there. And that it needs to be brought out. And my act of forgiveness somehow can reach that love in there. You must presume love. This is what Kierkegaard said. Presume. It must be a bad translation because that's not a word that really is. It's not an exciting word. Like presume. So, you know, I went to the old, thesaurus.com. Assume. It's just basically the same word. Assume there's love in someone else. But to assume love, you have to. Yeah, all right, I'm going to say it. We all know. When you presume, I know, I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it. I am. You make an ass out of you and me. That's what you do when you assume that that person is going to pay you back, when you assume that that person is going to come back with kindness, when you assume that somehow you make an ass out of yourself. You hang yourself out there. You know? You hang yourself out there. You know, and if we forget all those people who want stuff from me, who want to borrow something from me, or can abuse me. Forget all those people. What about all the people that's even worse that I respond to with defensively, when I respond to not with a presumption or an assumption of love? What about all those people who don't want anything from me? As a matter of fact, they don't want anything to do with me. What about all those people who do not regard me? Those are the people I really want to punch and run. What about those people who just don't have the time of day for me? What about the people who are, I'm sorry, it's not their fault. They are just way cooler than I am. They just have more money than me. They're just more attractive than me. They're just smarter than me. I can't punch all those people. It's a long line. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to. I need help. I want to love. I want to love the people who don't love me. I want to love the people that ignore me. I want to love the people that, like, they make it sound in here like it's so easy to love the people who already love you. That's not that hard. That's not that easy either. I just would rather love and forgive because I feel better, and I don't like violence. I need help. I'm the sinner in this. I don't know why I always forget the flip. I get deep into something like this and I forget the flip when you read the gospel. I always think that it's about me. I always think this is about me, how I should behave, what I should do. But it never is. It's always about Jesus. The one who presumes love in the sinner. That's not me. That's God, right? The one who turns the other cheek. I mean, we literally killed him, and he came back. God is the one who assumes love in me. And I don't have to tell God that when you assume something, God makes an ass out of himself. God lets that big ass hang out there when God presumes that love in us and turns the other cheek and doesn't care what, just that big ass hanging out.